For some of us, God can't meet the need because we operate in fear and not in faith.
Dr. Tony Evans says your faith should rest in God, not yourself.
Because it was an act of faith, you will see the hand of God.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. Does it feel like the answers to your deepest needs are just a little bit beyond your reach? Today, Dr. Evans has some suggestions that might bring them closer as he takes a look at the biblical practice of fasting. Let's join him.
We're doing a series on fasting and prayer. I have done my best to try to communicate the power of God when we sacrifice a desire of the flesh because we have a greater need of the Spirit. One of the primary reasons that you ought to fast is that there is a crisis need in your life or in the life of someone close to you. We're introduced here to a lady who we've gotten to know, the widow of Zarephath. Elijah the prophet has been serving God and now he's running from Jezebel. God lets him know that he's going to take care of the prophet Elijah. I'm going to take care of you, Elijah. He tells him, for example, in verse 4 of 1 Kings 17, I have commanded the ravens to take care of you. That's good news because you never know how God's going to come through. Just know God can do all that he promised to do. He then commands the ravens in verse 6, and the ravens obey and bring him food, which leads us to the story of the widow of Zarephath. Now, Zarephath is a hot, dry village located in Phoenicia. That is Lebanon, if we would use today's term. In current day Lebanon, where there has been a terrible drought, month in and month out, no rain. Now, no rain means no water. No water means no growth on the land in an agrarian culture. No growth means no food. So it's not just that it was dry. It was that there was no rain, therefore no crops, therefore no food. In addition, she is a widow. So she has nobody to cover her back. Nobody to look out for her. She is alone. God tells his prophet, his preacher, in verse 9, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So God had told this widow woman, who we're going to discover is impoverished, to take care of the preacher who was ministering for God. Now, it is in this context that we're going to learn a few principles related to prayer and fasting. And I want to start off with your perspective or your focus. When you're entering into, as many of you are, fasting and praying for a need in your life or some other thing based on what we've talked about thus far, a burden or deliverance or whatever it happens to be, at the core of that act is faith. Faith is a confidence that God is able to do and to meet the need that you bring before him. But this woman is in a contradiction. We've already seen in verse 9, I have commanded a woman to take care of you. He comes to the lady. He says in verse 10, may I have some water? She goes to get some water. And then he says to her, may I have a piece of bread out of your hand? Bring me bread and water. Now look at verse 12. And you can put your name in here. But she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in a bowl and a little oil in a jar. And behold, I'm gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son so that we may eat it and die. Brothers and sisters, what we have here is a contradiction. Verse 9 says, I have commanded the widow to take care of you. See, some of you, I can tell you're not with me yet. God said, I have already done this. I have already told the widow, when you come, to take care of you. So she already had the message to take care of Elijah. But when Elijah shows up and push comes to shove, are you getting closer with me? When it comes time to deliver on what God has already told her, which is his word, if he told her, it's his word. He has told her, when it comes time to perform it, practical matters get in the way. She goes practical on God. She says, your request is not practical. But she didn't become a pagan, because she introduces verse 12 with, as the Lord your God lives. Yeah, I believe in God and all that, but let's get practical. We have too many folk who never see God because you're just so practical. I hear it all the time in statements like, well, God expects us to use our common sense. What they're saying is, let's be practical. God doesn't always function practically. When he speaks, he wants to know, do you have enough confidence in his word to step out on what he says when it's not practical? She says, I believe in God as the Lord your God lives. I believe in him, yes, but in the real world where widows live, I have no bread. I don't have any bread. Or you could put a number of other things in there. I don't have any money. I don't have any power. I don't have any job. I don't have any ability. I don't have any friends. When you put practical in it, it was overruling what God said he told the woman. God said, just since I requested it, he said, I commanded the widow. I have already told her, when Elijah shows up, you feed him. But she only has one meal worth of flour. Or we would say in everyday English, she was down to a last dime. She says, I'm going to fix this, get a few sticks, cook this last flour, eat it and die. Now, what does she tell Elijah she doesn't have? She says, I have no what? No bread. What do you use to make bread? Flour, thank you very much. Preacher, I don't have any bread. I just have flour. So I haven't even got around to making this little, whatever little bread I can make. I have no bread, but she had flour. So what she had was the raw material to produce what God had commanded. Huh? She had what she needed to do what God said. But it wasn't practical. Her fears were overruling her faith. Or let me put it another way. She heard what God said, but at the same time, she focused on what she could see. And what she could see did not match what God had said. Since what she could see was different than what God said, her answer to Elijah reflected her physical sight, not her spiritual sight. And why every Christian needs somebody spiritual at a given moment to speak into your life. Look at verse 13. Then Elijah said to her, "Do not fear, but bring it to me first. And afterwards you may make one for yourself and for your son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor the jar of oil emptied until the day the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth." So she went and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household, her son, ate for many days. Now, this is a fast, folks. This is the worst kind of fast. When you're down to your last meal, you're fasting. Okay? That's a fast. All right? When you have to give up your last meal, that's a fast. But the Bible says God took that flour and it just kept on coming. Now, it doesn't tell us how God did it, but it says until it rained, God kept food coming. For some of us, God can't meet the need because we operate in fear and not in faith. You say, "But I can't stop my fear." You may not be able to stop your fear, but you can start your walk of faith. And when you start your walk of faith, your fear will be overruled by your action of faith. It is the action that produces the confidence, not the discussion. And sometimes even from the pulpit, you don't just need a good sermon. You need somebody to tell you, do it. Yes. And when you do it, because it was an act of faith, you will see the hand of God.
Well, when Dr. Evans comes back in just a moment, he'll explain why fasting not only builds your commitment, but your confidence. First, though, I want to mention that what you're hearing today is the final installment in Tony's two-volume CD series on fasting. It's a look at the amazing things that can happen to your spiritual appetite when you deny your physical one. But today is your last chance to get volume one of this series as our thank you gift for your contribution of any amount toward our ministry. So don't wait. Get the details today on Fasting, the Key to Spiritual Victory by visiting us online at TonyEvans.org. That's TonyEvans.org. Or call our 24-hour resource request line at 1-800-800-3222. Staff members are standing by to help you. Again at 1-800-800-3222. Well, right now, here's Dr. Evans with more of today's message.
Turn your Bible to Luke, book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 38. "Give, and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. They will pour into your lap, for by the standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return." Most important word in the verse, it. Give and it. Give and it. What does the it refer to? The it refers to what you gave. Give, and the thing that you gave will be given back to you. The it. The widow needed food, so what did God ask her to give? Food. He asked her to give the it that she needed. Right now, she didn't need friends, she needed food. She didn't even need a job right then in her emergency situation. She needed food. Give, and it, the thing you give, will be given back to you. You must be willing to act in faith in the same arena of need. If you have a need right now and you're fasting and praying, if there is something in the area of what you're requesting that you can give to somebody else, God says, give that to somebody else. Help somebody else, like she helped Elijah. And it will be the thing you gave given back to you, but not like you gave it. It will be given pressed down in good measure, shaken together, and running over. Now, what does that mean? Everybody quotes that. What does that mean? That referred to grain in the bag. When a farmer put grain in the bag, he would press it down, shake it together, so that all the creases would be covered by the grain, so he could get more grain into the bag. In other words, when you give to somebody else what you need God to give to you, when God gives to you what you gave to somebody else, and he puts it in his bag, he's going to shake it.
press it down, cover all the blank spots so he can get as much in your bag as you can handle. Give and it will be given to you. It's the same principle that's given in Galatians 6:8, where it says, whatever you sow, you reap. Same principle. You don't sow apples and get oranges. You don't sow pineapples and get watermelons. What you reap is the very thing that you plant, nothing else. What many of us do not do is plant in the area that we need to reap. And so we don't see God move. Ephesians 6:8 says it too. Whatever good thing a man does, listen to this, he shall receive the same. Proverbs 11:25 says, he who waters will be watered. Very same thing. God will come back at you the same way you went out to somebody else. Now you know the interpretation of a verse that everybody quotes, but everybody hates, and few know what it means. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Why is it more blessed to give than to receive? Because when you give, you become a channel now through which God can express himself to somebody else, which creates room in you for him to express himself to you. Some of us, we will see very little of God meeting our needs. You know why? Because we are not a channel. He can't do anything through us, so he won't do anything to us. We never have anything that will go to the kingdom, that will go to others, that will go to the poor, that will go to the ministry. It's all me, 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 me. He says it's more blessed to give. How can it be more blessed to give? Because when you give, when he gives to you, it's pressed down, shaken together, running over. So it's more than what you gave out. She gave one meal and she ate for many days. She fasted. She gave up something, a craving of the body, her last meal, if you will. And remember, fasting is not only food. Food is the most dominant one because it's the sustenance of life. All of life depends on food. But it can be any gratification of the flesh because you want an exchange of the spirit. Look at Matthew 7 to look at this principle. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. He who seeks, find. He who knocks, it will be open. Or what man is there among you, when his son shall ask him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Now, do you get the point? If you ask for a loaf, you don't want something other than a loaf. You want a loaf. Bread. Or if he asks for a fish, he will give him a snake, will he? No daddy does that. If you then, watch this, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Okay? Now, we can all relate to that. That's pretty clear, right? But don't stop reading until you get to verse 12. Therefore, however you want people to treat you, so treat them. For this is the law and the prophets. He says in verse 7 to 11, ask. But then he comes in verse 12 and lets you know something. When you go and ask him, he's also going to look at how you function in the area of your request to him towards somebody else. If somebody else needed a loaf and you denied them, but you ask him for a loaf, he will deny you. If you are selfish with God's goodness to you, he's going to be stingy with his goodness from him to you. Because how you treat somebody else, or we like to say it in contemporary American English, what goes around comes around. And a lot of us want from God what we're not willing to give to somebody else. Let me show you another passage. Philippians 4:19. Look at what the Lord says. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That's a powerful verse. It's a powerful verse because God says he'll meet all your needs, but then he won't meet the needs out of his riches. He'll meet them according to his riches. That's a big difference. If I give you a dollar out of my riches, that's one thing. But if I give you according to my riches, in other words, I'm taking into consideration how much I have before I give to you. But everybody wants to read and claim verse 19
without reading verse 16, 17, and 18. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once to my needs. Uh-oh. You got to read the preceding verses, folks. Not that I seek the gift itself. I could have done without the money. But I seek the profit which increases the your account. Because I know when you gave to me, God wrote it down. But I have received everything in full and I have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. You sent it to be, but God recorded it. And my God shall supply your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You don't get verse 19 if you're not living verses 16 to 18. If you're not willing to be a blessing, then God is not willing to give you his blessing. This woman gave up a cry of the flesh because she had a greater need of the spirit. Turn to one more passage. Ecclesiastes 11. Ecclesiastes 11. Cast your bread on the surface of the waters, and you will find it after many days. So you put it out, and don't worry, God's not going to lose it. It's coming back. That leads to a final principle, and that's the power. The widow communicated with God. In fact, all through the script, the power is in the prayer when the prayer is connected with the right heart attitude and the right action. Some people tell me they've been praying for stuff for years and have seen nothing. And so they conclude maybe the Lord doesn't want to have it. Or maybe it's not that the Lord doesn't want to have it, but your prayer is not mixed with anything. That is, faith has not been connected with the prayer. And if faith, that is the act of faith, not the discussion about faith, when the act of faith is not there, and when you act, the Bible says, in a crisis, God will be there for you. Psalm 50, verses 14 and 15 and verse 23. When you act and when you pray and you are serious about the action and the prayer, he says, you will see the hand of God pressed down, good measure, shaken together, running over. Exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. To God be the glory. Don't give up, church. Don't quit. Don't become frustrated. He's able to meet your deepest need.
And that wraps up the final installment in Dr. Evans' series on fasting. Because of time limitations, we were only able to bring you a quick sampling of this 14-lesson, 2-volume collection. But the complete set is available, and you can find out more about it by visiting tonyevans.org and checking out the title, Fasting, the Key to Spiritual Victory. Don't forget, if you contact us today, we'll send you the 7 CDs in Volume 2 of this series as our thank you gift. If you can help us out with a contribution of any size to help us keep bringing you our program every day. Remember, today's the last day we're making this special offer available, so don't wait another minute to visit tonyevans.org. And while you're there, make a point of checking out Tony's brand new book that'll be released on Monday. It's called Raising Kingdom Kids, a follow-up to his popular titles Kingdom Man and Kingdom Woman. So many people have been requesting a book like this, and it's just about here. But if you get a head start and pre-order it today, we'll send it to you along with over $80 worth of valuable, practical extras to help you become a more effective parent. Get the details on Raising Kingdom Kids at tonyevans.org or give us a call day or night at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our staff members help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. A lot of moms and dads just muddle their way through child rearing, just taking things as they come and making up the rules as they go. But on Monday, Dr. Evans will kick off a new collection of messages that sets out the kingdom agenda for your family. It's called Parenting on Purpose. I hope you'll be listening. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative, and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.